Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. What is it this time? I try to mix things up. Is it the menagerie for free speech? Do all the free-speaking animals come here and create kind of a menagerie? And the audience can peruse the grounds and listen to whatever free speech it wants. You know, whether it's like monkey free speech or tiger free speech, and then listen to it. And it's a good place. It's bring your kids. Bring the whole family. And while you're at it, go to republicbroadcasting.org and send a donation, because it should be tax deductible. It's not, but it ought to be. And go to nationalbugle.com, download that kosher-tified app. You too can lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, NKC. All right, today is the Wednesday show, and so we have, so that means it's the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
If it's Wednesday, it's Patrick and Jeremy, and it is not kosher certified.
No, it's not. It's not kosher certified. Well, we got all sorts of stuff going on today, and one thing that I really, really like, this is some good news, it's Mr. Sandman. What's going on with Mr. Sandman? He's a fellow Kentuckian.
Up in Covington, you know, right on the border of Ohio, Mr. Covington is not kosher certified. You know, because of the defamation of his character, he brought lawsuits against the Washington Post in particular. And headline here, you know, under Law and Crime, lawyer for Covington Catholics Nick Sandman threatens CNN's Brian Stelter and others for tweeting about defamation case. So, Mr. Sandman is not—he's not holding back. He's just going to go after anybody and everybody. So,
just for everybody to refresh their memory, about a year and a half ago, there were these kids from Covington Catholic High School, and they had participated in the March for Life, a anti-abortion event, annual event in Washington D.C. And in their free time after the march, they had bought, well, some of them had bought MAGA hats from vendors who they're on the mall in Washington, D.C. They're almost always black. So they bought their MAGA hats, and then they were near the Lincoln Memorial waiting for their school bus to come and take them back to Kentucky. It's a long way. And while they're sitting there waiting, there were other events going on that day. There was a Native American event, so you had some Native Americans hanging around. And then you had this small group of black Israelites who are... What are they like?
We was the chosen.
They was.
The black Israelite Jews, they're the real chosen. That's their shtick.
And they were trying to... Well, they were mocking the Indians and taunting the Indians, and then they managed to get this one Indian elder, somebody who was from, he's old enough to be a Vietnam vet, but wasn't really. He was portrayed as a Vietnam vet, and they got him to, somehow they manipulated him, so he walked up to the, into the middle of the Catholic high school kids, who were waiting for their school bus, and started banging his drum right in Nick Sandman's face. And Nick Sandman just stood there and smiled. Doesn't seem... Is that white supremacy to stand there and smile?
Of course it is. I mean, it was a smirk. It was the Sandman smirk. I use that smirk a lot when I walk into Walmart without a mask. And I give him Sandman smirk. I'm like, yeah, what about it?
And yeah, and that was the top of the news cycle, because they didn't. There weren't a whole lot of black riots going on those weeks, I guess, and we weren't locked down. And so CNN just thought that was the most important thing, and the Washington Post, that was the most important thing going on in January 2019. Oh, wow, what innocent days those were. But he was roundly defamed. He was brought on, what is that, the Good Morning Show on NBC, or I forgot, the Today Show on NBC, and the female white lady was saying, don't you think that was, there's something aggressive about you standing there smiling? Wasn't that very aggressive? Shouldn't you see it from their side? Don't you owe them an apology? And Nick Sandman, minus his MAGA hat, you could see that he was just a kid. How old was he at the time? Was he 15 or 16?
16 years old.
Yeah, just a kid. So how's that turned out for him?
Well, he received a settlement from WAPO, and I don't know what the settlement is. I never could find it. It doesn't matter.
I think it was about $250 million. I think it's about $250 million. It was massive.
Yeah. I'm not sure what he got, but they did. They settled with him, meaning they didn't have a case, and they're just going to give him money to go away. Good for him for taking money away from the lamestream media. But recently, CNN's Brian Stelter is retweeting an analysis of the case, so Nick's lawyer turned around and sued that guy. Let's see. And then CNN settled. Yeah, in the article, CNN settled a defamation lawsuit earlier this year with Sandman, a student caught in a series of viral videos in Washington, D.C. So CNN was among a number of named media companies and individuals who either were or are defendants in the case. The Washington Post settled last week. So after all the settlements, this Brian Stetler was retweeting details of it, and so Nick's lawyer turned around and sued that guy. Sue them all. Let God sort them out. That's what I say.
Yeah, okay, so this is from the New York Post. Washington Post settles, they settle a $250 million suit with Covington Nick Sandman. So what does that mean? Does that mean he got the full $250 million?
If it's a settlement, they arranged on a number that was lesser than that, I would assume. I have not figured out exactly what the settlement was, and I don't think that it matters as long as they had to pay money to the Sandman. That's what matters.
So
he won. You know, if he got money from him, he won. That's where I'm going with it.
It's the teen's second win in a whopping $800 million defamation battle against a number of news outlets, including the Washington Post, CNN, ABC, CBS, The Guardian, The Hill, and NBC. CNN agreed to settle with Sandman in January this year as part of a separate $275 million claim. So, yeah, okay. So I guess we don't know exactly how much he got.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about college expenses. I think he's got a free ride.
Well,
the Sandman.
The thing is, if he's getting, well, if they're settling, they're settling because they think they might lose the case, and so if they're giving money, it would be a significant hunk of money. This is not my area of expertise, but it seems like Nick Sandman is going to walk away from this a very rich person. And, you know, now, Ralph Nader was not a teenager, but he was in his 20s, and he'd written a book, Unsafe at Any Speed, about the Covair, which was a sports car from GM. And then the General Motors started trying to entrap him into some sort of scandal in order to defame him. They were having, I guess, women, honeypots. They were trying to honeypot him, and they were sending women to try to seduce him in supermarkets and things like that. And then that got exposed, and he sued GM and got a settlement. I don't know what he wound up getting, whether it was $500,000 or $1.5 million. It was something like that, but this was 1965, and that was worth a lot more back then. at, you know, $65. It was enough that it got him started, and he was able to start funding his own political activities. Now, I don't know, much about Nick Sandman, but he, what I certainly hope is that he gets some competent people around him who are able to take advantage of that money, set Nick Sandman up very comfortably. But Nick Sandman could perched from that money for decades going into the future, could direct, some sort of political charitable fund. You know, he could. You think of what the Rockefeller Foundation or the Carnegie Foundation, what these foundations have done, and these foundations often wind up getting captured by Jewish interests and then promoting Jewish interests. If he had some smart people, he could set up a foundation. He could fund all sorts of activities that he should be pretty educated about now. You know, he's experienced the brunt of the media's anti-whiteness. He could set up something else. Who knows? But he is emerging as potentially a very, very important person. And he did take the initiative to you know, get a lawyer and go after it. So he got the right lawyer, that's for sure.
And, you know, they tried to turn this into a political assault against him, and he turned it right back on them. Good for Nick. I wanted to start out with that good news. About one of our Kentucky boys, one of our boys. And, you know, speaking of politics, hopefully he steers away from Ben Shapiro. Hopefully he doesn't go that route. But, you know, let's keep an eye on Nick, and let's see where he goes with this. I think he may be a person of importance in the near future.
Oh, yeah. He could. Who knows? We'll find out, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. All right, well, that's the good news. What else do we have? Is it all good news?
Well, I don't know. It's news. Speaking of politics, Kamala Harris, also known as Kamala Harris, is still posed as the top VP candidate, despite the fact that Democrats distrust her.
Why do Democrats distrust her?
Well, this is according to a Politico article, and it says that Senator Kamala Harris, a California senator, a national following and leading combatant against the Trump administration, has been seen as a likely Biden VP nominee even before he started running. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, somebody called a Biden Kamala Harris ticket. I don't remember who it was. Who was that?
I called that guy like a year and a half ago.
You did call it. And what did I call?
That Joe would not get a single delegate.
I still stand by that. The convention hasn't happened yet. I still stand by my prediction. Okay.
They've obviously hoaxed him into position. So, I mean, your instincts were very good. And I was just going off of the fact that they wanted a white man who supposedly cared about the working class. But, you know, my reasons for picking Kamala Harris was that she was a female, supposedly a female of color, even though she just looks like she got a really bad tan. And, you know, she had a little bit of a clout. Politico, you know, agrees that she seems to be the top VP runner, but a lot of the Democrats in the, you know, in the Democrat Party are doubting her. They're not trusting her. So, yeah.
Hmm.
Going into the article, it's interviews with more than four dozen elected officials, strategists, and former Biden advisors, and plugged-in donors say they think Harris is the closest Biden has to a do-no-harm option. A do-no-harm option. I guess a VP candidate that wouldn't rock the system, that wouldn't, you know, unlike Ocasio-Cortez or Ilhan Omar, those two part of the squad, they would be harm options.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Cortez is too young to be picked. They're not really in the running, but it's just examples. Yeah, they are. They would do lots of harm. Somebody like them.
says that Biden is set to make his decision as soon as the beginning of August. That's next week.
Yes, right? Indeed. This might be the last chance we have to speculate on this. Next show, for all we know, we're going to be talking about it in the past tense.
But Politico says that former high-ranking Democratic Party officials and elected officials have expressed concerns about her to the vetting committee in recent weeks, according to sources who've spoken to the Biden vetting team. So some of the other ones that they're wanting to push is Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth. That would be a person of color.
Yeah, she's half Thai. Although Andrew Anglin has said, you know, she doesn't look half Asian. She looks completely Asian. And he's questioning her paternity.
And then, you know, there was the infamous or famous, whatever, Harris attacked Biden for his stance on, you know, being against busing blacks into white schools in the 70s. I mean, that's pretty cheap. Everybody was against that back then. Any normal Democrat would have been. So that was dismissed. You know, based Biden back in the 70s. Even the black community was against busing in the 70s. They didn't want to wake up at 5 in the morning to put their child on a bus to go way out of the way to go to a white school. That was something that was memed on the people. She did attack him. And that's all being kind of brushed under the rug, as, you know, in the past.
Yeah, well, you know, there's one other thing. Kamala Harris had some very close relationship with Beau Biden, Joe Biden's late son, before Kamala Harris was the senator from California. She was the attorney general. And at the same time she was attorney general of California, Beau Biden was attorney general of Delaware. And these attorney generals do have their shindigs every now and then, the state attorney generals, and get together. And somehow they had developed a very close friendship. And you got to remember that Kamala Harris really slept her way into politics. She was the squeeze of Willie Brown, who was, back in the 80s, he was the Speaker of the California General Assembly. He was, he ran the state legislature, and then later became the mayor of San Francisco. And I think it was while he was mayor of San Francisco and married to somebody else that he and Kamala Harris had a widely acknowledged, intimate relationship. And he got her into, on the political course, got her the connections, and then she ran for, I guess it was district attorney for San Francisco, on his coattails. So she has that in her past. She's only been married for a few years. She's married to a Jew. Big surprise. And, of course, she's too old to have kids by that time. But the relationship between Beau Biden and Kamala Harris, it's not as widely... excuse me, not as widely accepted that it was an intimate romantic relationship, but there's certainly a lot of speculation that way, and that seems to be part of the reason that Joe Biden was so blindsided by her attack on him, because, you know, they had that relationship through their son. So I think that's worthy of mention.
Yeah, in the article, she brushes it off, saying, you know, it didn't mean anything. That attack was just politics.
Yeah, just politics.
Yeah.
Okay, we are coming up on the break, but let's get back to this, because this is interesting. We'll be right back. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream. Make him the cutest that I've ever seen. Give him two lips like roses and clover. Then tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman, bum, 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 bum. Don't have nobody to call my own. Bum, 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 bum. Please turn on your magic beam. Mr. Sandman, bring me a dream.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Bring us, please, 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 Mr. Sandman, bring us all three.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. It's Patrick Slattery here, nursing my coronavirus, and Jeremy. So back to Kamala Harris. And
well,
yeah,
the Democrats, her time as a prosecutor would harm the Democratic ticket, because in this day and age of Black Lives Matter, don't prosecute black people for committing crimes. Apparently, when Kamala Harris was a prosecutor, she probably ran across quite a few black defendants that she went after. So what do you think about that analysis, that her time as a prosecutor would hurt the Democratic ticket of today?
Well, it hurt her, because not just that she had been a prosecutor, but if you remember a year ago or so, before the primary started, she was considered top tier, and she was in the third or fourth place in the polls. And they were having these, there were like 20 people running, 20 acknowledged people, 20 Democratic candidates who had met criteria to be invited to debates last summer, and she was one of them. And she was always top tier. They divided them into two groups, kind of at random. And in one particular debate, she was on the same stage with Tulsi Gabbard, who was out there at the wing. She's always just barely made the cut. But Tulsi Gabbard went after Kamala Harris. And, Kamala Harris had given an interview where she had laughed and joked about having smoked marijuana. She said, "Well, I'm Jamaican, of course," and laughed. And then Tulsi Gabbard brought up, said, you joked and laughed about having smoked marijuana yourself, yet as prosecutor, you sent 2,400 people to prison for marijuana possession charges, something like that. I don't know what the number was. And that destroyed Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. I mean, that is widely acknowledged as having destroyed it. She didn't have a response to Tulsi Gabbard other than accusing her of being like a Russian, a Russian agent. And her poll numbers dropped, and she moved, you know, consistently to the side, you know, away from the center of the debate stage as her poll numbers dropped. And then she just threw in the towel before the primary started. So she is vulnerable there. That's what got her knocked off of the debate stage. And compared to a year ago, the idea of having sent black people to jail, black people aren't supposed to be in jail. So, yeah, I think I think that would be seen as her vulnerability now.
Well, the Democrat Party views any prosecution of black criminals as systematic racism. And we see this today with the protests going all over the United States, specifically Portland, Oregon is getting a lot of media that, you know, it's almost painting a picture of, you know, the Republicans under Trump. You know, they're the party of prosecuting peaceful protesters and feds in to tear gas them, and that the Democrats are the party of, peace and letting the protesters voice their opinions. So the Democrats are painting themselves in a corner. It's almost like the Democrats are advocating for these protesters who do turn violent, and the people see that.
Mm-hmm.
To take any stance on law and order is fascism and republicanism and Trumpism. It's the orange man bad. So yeah, that would hurt things. Like hurt anybody who had a past stance of being tough on crime. That's going to hurt them.
Now, one of the other black ladies who is apparently one of the finalists on Joe Biden's short list is this congresswoman from Florida. Her name slips my mind because it was never on my mind in the first place, but she has a history of being the chief of police of Orlando, Florida. Yes, she policed the mean streets of Orlando, those back streets. You know, the Backstreet Boys were from Orlando, so you know those were some pretty mean back streets.
I didn't know that. I was, back in my day, it was New Kids on the Block that was big.
Oh, I guess so. So Kamala Harris isn't the only one with that problem there. I don't know. I mean, at this point, do you still think it's going to be Kamala Harris? Kamala Harris?
I'm going with Kamala Harris, yeah. I mean, I think she's just more well-known, and the electorate are ignorant. You know, Biden is the chief of the first supposedly black president, even though he was mixed. And Kamala Harris, who is not fully black, she just has a good tan. Her name recognition is out there, and I just think they're going to go with that. But I could be wrong. I would default to you, the political scientist.
Yeah, political scientist, but I don't have... The only presidential election I recalled correctly was Donald Trump's. And, you know, even a broken clock is stopped twice a day or something like that. you know what I mean? But I think at this point I would say Susan Rice. She also has name recognition. But I don't know. I mean, you look at, like, the lady I mentioned whose name slips my mind from Orlando, Florida. She's got the same issues with law enforcement. And you've got this Mayor Bottoms from Atlanta. Well, Atlanta's had a lot of rioting, and she has used the Atlanta police, so there could be issues there. But, I mean, really, who's going to be... I mean, it's not like... Well, who knows? Republicans... The Republicans, actually, if they... With the absolute state of the Republican Party, they may well go after, a vice presidential candidate, Bottoms or Harris, or something about being tough on black crime, too tough on black crime. Who knows? This is the administration of criminal justice reform. But we're up on the break, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so we're moving on from the presidential election to the closely related issue of mostly peaceful protests and the mostly peaceful protesters who are on a rampage. And we have, like, I guess, do we have a new Orwellian meme that's come out? Peaceful protests that have intensified. Right, Dr. Duke talked about that. I think that was it. ABC News talked about a peaceful protest intensifying when it tried to burn down the a courthouse in Portland, Oregon. So these intensely peaceful protests, what's going on with them?
Well, Democrats have painted themselves into a corner. They are the party that stands behind protesters who turn into violent rioters who then turn into people who burn down federal buildings, if allowed. And if you stand against that, you're a racist. You are a fascist. You are an agent of Hitler. Mostly, peaceful protesters will toss cocktails of peace into the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon.
What kind of cocktails are they? Are they martinis of peace?
Yeah, sure, let's go with that. Martinis apiece. And President Hitler looks like he's going to deploy federal troops there to stop these protesters' constitutional right to burn down a federal building in Portland. How terrible. How racist. Well, you can't read the Democrats has painted themselves into this corner. Like, they have to defend this. And like, the people are seeing it. Like, normal Democrats are seeing this, and they're like, no, I don't want anything to do with this. But, so this is an article in the New York Post, and it starts off with Andy NGO. He was the guy that got beat up, right? Isn't he a homo?
Yeah,
he does a lot of good reporting.
That NGO, I believe that's a Vietnamese name. I think it can also be a Cantonese name, Cantonese being the southern Chinese language that's spoken in Hong Kong. So I'm not sure if he's Chinese or Vietnamese. I have the feeling he's Vietnamese, and yeah, I think he is out as gay. Yeah.
He's a homo. He swings the other way. But he does some good reporting. Rioters, according to NGO, rioters threw a bomb at the front of the Portland Federal Courthouse. This was not one of their usual firework explosives. Portland rioters, this is the New York Post talking here, Portland rioters launched what appeared to be a Molotov cocktail at Federal Courthouse early Tuesday morning during another tense standoff between protesters and federal law enforcement, police said. Now, this has been going on for over 60 days, I'm hearing, and Molotov cocktail, that sounds Russian. I know that's where you fill a bottle up with gas or some sort of explosive, drag it and light it. What's the origin of Molotov cocktail? I looked it up, but I figured you'd know it offhand.
Yeah, well, Molotov was the foreign minister of the Soviet Union in, before World War II, and I think he lasted throughout World War II. And so it is named after him. Where it was first deployed, I'm not exactly sure.
Well, as any heard, the New York Post is saying that the device exploded in front of Mark O. Courthouse just after midnight.
And by the way, we've got his parents, Andy Ngo's parents, were boat people from Vietnam, and he was raised in Portland. So he's a native Portland, and he's Vietnamese. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem. This courthouse has been at the center of the nightly protests in the city of Portland, and it was all sparked by the police-involved death of George Floyd on May 25th. So, yeah, this has been going on since May 25th, and this is why Trump has deployed more than 100 agents to Department of Homeland Security to protect the federal courthouse there. And I mean, looked at as unconstitutional, as dictatorship-like by the Dems and the left. But, you know, we can't just let them burn down a courthouse.
Yeah, and that's what they're clearly trying to do. And, you know, he has to go to the Department of Homeland Security because who typically would have jurisdiction in this type of thing if it, from the federal government? Who would typically be used? I mean, the National Guard, but he's not. The Defense Department is restricting his use of National Guard troops. The Justice Department has agents. Certainly the FBI is under the Justice Department, and Bob Barr seems to, or Bill Barr, is that his name? He seems to be in open rebellion against against Trump. He's not prosecuting anybody. Andrew Anglin's been pointing out for a while. He hasn't been prosecuting anybody, and now Tucker's pointing it out. So now you've got the Department of Homeland Security, which has lent some forces, but Border Patrol forces? Isn't it the Border Patrol agents up in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah. It's crazy. There's already a precedent set in the L.A. riots. George Bush the Elder nationalized the Guard to quell the L.A. riots back in 92, and so in the Insurgent Act. So Trump should very easily be able to do this, but he's not being allowed to. It just proves the lack of power in the presidency, and specifically the lack of Trump being able to govern.
Yeah, he's not very good at it, and one would hope that eventually he learns on the job, but we're 3.5 years into this, and he's floundering, and he doesn't seem to have control over his own administration. He's got all these people. I mean, who's Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI? If Christopher Wray, this is the person who is, he's got all of these investigations into white nationalists and white supremacists. And you've got the Justice Department. They're prosecuting, among others, Julian Assange. So their priorities are not Trump's priorities, that's for sure. But from day one, it's been like that. I remember when Trump's cabinet was just formed, you had the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, a former senator from Indiana, who was completely buying into the Russia hoax, which was clearly a hoax. And to the extent that somebody with access to all of the intelligence that the government has, if they're buying into the Russia hoax, or peddling the Russia hoax, because he might not have actually bought into it, then that has to be seen as an act of open rebellion against Donald Trump and participation in the coup d'etat. Is there any other way to look at it?
No other way. And I mean, it's interesting that they've, you know, talked about white nationalism, but like clearly the groups that are doing these violent protests in specifically Portland, Oregon, they're not affiliating themselves with white nationalism. I know there was a meme being tried to push that there was white supremacists infiltrating the peaceful protesters, but that kind of fell by the wayside. This is being painted in the media as peaceful protesters and mothers,
mm-hmm. Veterans, you know, veterans, right?
Yeah, but, and they're all associated with BLM. And the picture being painted is that Trump, the Hitler fascist, is, you know, sending federal troops in to stop these peaceful protesters. Like, they're not even, like, Nadler was even denying that these protests were violent, which is crazy. I mean, the average American can see, you know, just by glancing through the internet that these protests are turning violent. So I find it interesting that, you know, even amongst the criminalization in thought of white nationalism, like, they're not even painting this as white nationalists infiltrating anymore. They're just saying this is BLM, peaceful protesting, and the government's cracking down on them. This is crazy.
And, if you're looking at the presidential election, despite all the polls, when you have the combination of Joe Biden seemingly slipping into senility, and they're not offering any evidence to the contrary, and then you've got this crazy domestic situation with these riots, which are being promoted and glorified by the media, these clearly anti-white riots, violent riots, we are in a really precarious state, and it's a state so precarious, lots of people have to recognize it. So, and, you know, Donald Trump doesn't seem to be able to get control of the situation, but he's clearly one of the main targets. And when whites are under attack and Trump is being viewed and being portrayed in the media as basically a symbol of all white people, it's not too far-fetched to think that white people might rally around Donald Trump.
That's what I was just about to make a point. I mean, this could go either way. A lot of people are saying, oh, no, you know, Trump is losing. But, I mean, moderate Democrats are looking at this, and regular Americans, Republicans, I mean, they're seeing that the Democrat Party stands for this anarchy, this destruction of American cities, and they see Trump as pushing against it. Whether he is or not, or to what extent he is irrelevant. Like, the public perception is being thrown out there by the media that Trump is pushing against these protests, and I think regular people are seeing that, and I'm still thinking that it's drawing more Trump supporters. Maybe that's the optimist in me, but this election is going to come down to, you know, are you going to vote for anarchy in the streets under Black Lives Matter and corona lockdowns? Or are you going to vote for, you know, Trump, who seems to be painted as pushing against both of these items?
Yeah, and, you know, we have, just under 100 days now before the election. So you have a little more than 3 months. And, you know, the riots have taken on a life of their own. There's the sponsors of the riots. How closely can they direct them? How closely can they control them? I really don't know. Could they put on the brakes all of a sudden Maybe they could put on all of the brakes. They could put on the brakes all of a sudden by throwing the rioters under the bus. But that would probably be kind of a suicidal act for them. So I don't know what options they have now other than to just, you know, try to direct things to an extent, but otherwise just go with the flow. And are these, so two things could happen with these riots. One is they could fizzle out, which would, I guess, be seen as a victory for Trump. Trump could say, look, I saved us from the rioters. Or if they don't fizzle out, they wind up red-pilling more and more people along the way because it's kind of obvious what's going on here. So I don't know.
I think they're going to keep the rioters and the riots going through the election, just like they're going to keep corona hoax lockdowns going through the election. And if Trump wins, or if there's some sort of a debate, you know, amongst who won the election, you were pointing this out on your show yesterday very vividly of the different scenarios that could go on in a contested election.
Mm-hmm.
But these rioters on hand, and these rioters are going to be out in the street rioting if Trump does indeed win the election again. So I think they're just going to keep it going. It's just not going to stop, just like corona hoax. It's not going to stop.
I got to say that, you know, the United States looks more chaotic in 2020 than the Soviet Union looked in the summer of 1991. And the Soviet Union did not survive the year 1991.
You were there, weren't you? Weren't you there?
I was there for, you know, for a short period of time. But, yeah, I was traveling around, and I was in the Soviet Union in 1991. And
for those people over on TRS and Fash the Nation, I mean, they say they think they're experts on this, but, I mean, you were actually there. And I know David Duke was there. At some point in this,
David Duke he was there during the some of the years of the Jewish complete domination, that when Jewish power completely took over the Soviet Union. He was there during the Yeltsin years, so that was a big deal. But so, he lived there. I think he spent maybe a total of 4 years over in Russia. So between Russia and the Ukraine. I never lived there.
Yeah, I would default to your experience in that over someone that wasn't there, that was probably in high school, you know, when they're at the time of that goings on. But there are protests going on all over the world, and some thing that we may have missed is there's some kosher protests going on in Israel. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I have, but why don't you introduce it?
Yeah, kosher protest in Israel could turn into an Israeli spring. That's the question mark. And this is according to the Washington Post, which Nick Sandman got the best of. Basically, I read the article, and there's protesters in Israel, leftist young protesters that are protesting Benjamin Netanyahu and his annexation of Palestinian lands. And they're, you know, they're calling for him to resign, to step down. And this could be a situation in Israel that gets out of control because, as we know, the Jews aren't in control of everything, specifically of their own youth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, Netanyahu has been in legal trouble for years, corruption trouble. His wife has profited off of their position, so there's corruption trouble. Israel is electorally a very, very divided society. There's always been closely contested elections between their so-called right and their so-called left, although you know what right and left means in the context of Israel, that's kind of another story. And of course, we just had over the past 15-16 months, you had four national elections in Israel. All of them were inconclusive between Netanyahu and this general Benny Gantz. And the idea of annexation, which isn't being covered in the American news at all, but where Israel would formally annex some of the more desirable parts or more strategic parts of the West Bank, which is, you know, considered the Palestinian territory, It's a very bold move, and it could create a international backlash. But it could also, if you're going to annex land, there's people who live on the land, and then all of a sudden you've got a bunch of Arabs who, what are you going to do with them? They have to be considered Israeli citizens, or either that, you're really pulling off the mask in terms of being a supremacist state. But we are up on the break, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Welcome back to the show. Okay, you know, there are all sorts of groups and people with all sorts of agendas. The United Nations is out there. I don't think they're the most important, but there's one thing I appreciate about the United Nations is their agenda is published. So what's on their agenda?
Well, you and I covered Agenda 2021, Sustainable Development, and that has morphed a little bit more into the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Development by the United Nations, and this is an article I sent by the United Nations under their goals, knowledge, and platform. anybody can pull this up and read it, but if I would just nutshell it, they envision a world by 2030 where everybody, even the most primitive of South American and African tribes, have access to technology, they have access to education, gender equality, you know, amongst males and females and gays and transgenders. And this is an era they envision where everybody respects the environment and everybody has access to the things that we've seen being pulled into the third world, such as access to finance and microfinance and all that. So what I'm saying is, where are we going? Where are we going on a global level? What's this all heading to? I think it's heading to a place where, since the economies of the West, the United States and Europe, have been collapsed, and there's no return to the new normal, but there's no return to the old normal, there's a new normal, and the new normal is a new economy. This could be cryptocurrency online. This could be where everybody on Earth has a smartphone and who has access to online education and who has access to an online bank account, who are a bunch of consumers that make perhaps their own UBI, a global UBI, and where everybody is a producer and a consumer for the benefit of the upper 2% of the Jewish global elite. And this is where I foresee they're going with this whole thing, with this coronavirus lockdown hoax, with this Black Lives Matter hoax, where everybody is under their control, even in the most remote corners of the earth. And where does 5G fit in? Well, it would take 5G to be able to uphold this, to be able to sustain this scenario where everybody is online. Everybody has a cell phone in their hands. Everybody has access to microfinance. Everybody has access to some sort of UBI and some sort of global education. Maybe a little conspiratorial, but I read through the 2030 Sustainable Development article, and that's what I'm getting from it. What about you? Your thoughts, Patrick?
Well, I just want to express my appreciation to the United Nations for their transparency. I guess there may be some agendas, items that they don't publish. Wouldn't it be nice if there was, let's just say, the Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations, where they published their agendas, or their protocols, whatever they call it. I don't know what they call it. That would be interesting. What is strange about the whole sustainable development, sustainability, is there's nothing sustainable about the population explosion that's going on, particularly in Africa. Can you really have 4.7 billion Africans by the end of the century? In what universe is that sustainable? So, well, yeah, that's what I think.
I'm asking, what if, you know, they would rather have lots of brown people that would be more, that would be more into their system, that would be subservient to their system, rather than people who could rebel.
Yeah.
Are these series of vaccines a way to control the white population rather than the brown population?
Well, who control both? We'll have to figure that out on another future episode, because we are out of time. But thank you so much for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. It's been real as always.
It's been real. And you stay classy, RBN. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Legal Radio.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.